Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed, for the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, being mindful of his mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and to his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
During the second part of Advent, which is guided by the beautiful 4th century old antiphons, they interpret for us so much of the content of the readings, because they give us 7 different vocatives, 7 different ways with which we're supposed to relate to the Lord. And the readings themselves are preparing us to embrace that Lord whom we're not just supposed to call upon by those titles, but enter into harmony with through what those titles signify. And one of the things that unfortunately happens in the O antiphons is the translations that we have for the Alleluia verses often limp. In my opinion today, what we have leaves out the most important part of the O antiphon. O Rex Gentium, et desideratus earum, it says. O King of the nations, and desire of them, the long desired of the nations, not just of the Jews, but of all the peoples. Lapis angularis, cornerstone. Come and save man whom you have formed from the dust. Desideratus. Throughout the Advent season, we're not just focusing on vigilance so that the Lord doesn't sneak attack us in an ambush. We're not just focusing on longing and waiting. We're focusing on a love that really dominates what's supposed to be ecclesial desire. As we draw closer to Christmas, who are the figures that the Church gives us to ponder, to help us? Sterile women. First, who have longed for children, so that we can enter into their experience of a holy longing. So that's why we get the wife of Manoah. That's why we get Elizabeth. It's why we get Hannah. They all thought that their sterility, their infertility, was a curse. But it wasn't. It was meant to help them to long for what gift God wanted to give, and not just for those specific gifts, Samson, John the Baptist, the prophet Samuel, but the far greater gift, to help us all learn how to long for the Messiah even more than the way they did. And that's where we get into the 4th great woman helping us to have this holy desire for the desideratum. Mary wasn't old. She obviously wasn't infertile or sterile, but she, by a choice, had put that desire for God above every other desire. That was her desire, God. And little did she know that that desire for God would take on her own flesh and become her son. She wasn't dreaming about that. She wasn't longing for that. But that's in fact what God himself did. But her holiest of desires is meant to inspire our preparation, not just for the birth of Jesus in time, not just to embrace him when he comes on the clouds or at the end of our life, but to embrace him every day, to focus on him as that desideratum of our heart. And we see today what happens when we get a partial fulfillment of that desire. Here in this world, it's never going to be fulfilled fully because we can't receive all of it here. We want it to be permanent and all-consuming because of our finitude here in this world. It just ain't going to happen. But as the great saints would call it, and with an image that would be particularly dear for you as Sisters of Life, we can have an embryonic participation in this world, in that ultimate reality. And when we do, then we're supposed to burst out with praise like Hannah does in the psalm today, which is the precursor for the Magnificat, and Mary in her own song of praise to the Lord, that she was bursting to say and said in such a way that these words were recorded. Her soul proclaims the Lord's greatness. Her spirit rejoices in God. Why? Because he's fulfilled all his promises. He's looked upon his lowly one, his Anoim, and of that lowly one, all generations will call her blessed. She has never thought that she's done wonderful things. No, the Almighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy in every generation on those who fear him. And how great is his mercy toward me. We look at her as sinless. But the reason why she was sinless was because of God's prevenient grace. St. Therese would say, whose confessor testified that he thought that, or spiritual rector, sorry, very important distinction, said that he believed she had never committed a mortal sin. Yet she thought that she had never committed very serious sin, precisely because God, knowing her weakness, gave her his grace such that she wouldn't desire to sin so much, because that desire would be crowded out by a greater desire to please God. Mercy in every generation. And he's fulfilled his promises to make the last first and the first last, to scatter the proud, to cast down the mighty, at the very moment they're sitting on their thrones, lifting up the lowly, filling those who desire, those who are hungry with good things. And he's always come to the help of his servants according to his promise, just like he promised and fulfilled his words to Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants. What a beautiful hymn of praise. What an expression of what's supposed to occur when we recognize that the Lord has indeed come in response to our desires. That our greatest desires for God, for meaning, for life to the full, are being rewarded and responded to. That's what the Church wants us to ponder as we draw closer, despite the fact that it can't translate into English. Desideratus gentium. That is who Christ is, not just the long-awaited one of the Jews, but also the long-awaited one of every heart that he's ever formed, whether they know it or not. But it's supposed to be for us an imitation of the Blessed Virgin, who long for the Lord even more than sterile women long for a child of their own. That's what our purpose is in helping the whole world prepare. And this desire can grow despite all the work that we have to do, despite the illnesses that we have to battle. It's through that that the desire can be, in fact, purified and ascend throughout all of those challenges. God, who calls us to have this desire, will give us the grace for it. I would be terribly remiss as a son of the church and a lover of the saints if I didn't give an illustration today, especially for one so close to us. And I would even encourage you today to do whatever you can to change your schedule to celebrate this in a way that Catholics throughout the world can't. Today is the 100th anniversary of the birth into eternal life of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. She died in Chicago December 22nd, 1917. And as you know, her remains are just a few miles north of us in Washington Heights at that shrine that not enough people visit, especially in a metropolis like this. But she was one who had an extraordinary desire for God and to help others to recognize God's desire for them. Even as a little girl, she was making these paper boats and putting them on a small little stream, thinking that the boats were going to be able to sail all the way to China so that the Chinese could be brought into the faith. She cared for her parents both died when she was a teenager. She wanted to become a missionary, but there weren't missionary orders of sisters, because it was too dangerous, just like we wouldn't have female soldiers when we were thinking sanely, because we didn't want them going into combat. So the church was reluctant to send women to have happen to them even worse than what happened, for example, to the North American martyrs in Canada and in Orrisville. And so she began to teach, helping out the local bishop to run an orphanage. Eventually, her services were no longer needed there. And she was looking for a missionary congregation. And her bishop very wisely said, "It doesn't exist. You'll have to found one." So she did, and she wanted to go to China. But she went and she met Pope Leo XIII. You know, at the end of time, Pope Leo XIII, he was Pope for 25 years, but he met and had an impact on so many saints. He met them personally as a voluntary prisoner there in the Vatican. We know what happened on November 13th, 1887, when little 14-year-old Thérèse Lisieux met him and said, "Il a paru comme il était mort." He looked like he was dead. But nevertheless, said to her, "If it's God's will, it'll happen." When she met with Leo XIII and described her plans to go to China, he said, "Not to the east, but to the west." He wanted her to come here to New York, where there were 100,000 Italians, but only 12 priests. And of those 12 priests, 10 had been kicked out of their dioceses for bad behavior. And so you know what the state of the Italian Catholics were in New York. If you think it's good now, let's go back a little bit more than 100 years. But she persevered, and she came, even when the Archbishop said, because of a dispute with the benefactress who was going to give them their first convent, that she had fallen through. She was on the docks to return. She said, "No, the Pope sent me here, and here I will remain." She went back, she worked out the situation with the benefactress, and began here the work of her missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart, and then took it to various other continents and so many other countries. What an extraordinary desire she had for God, that she would spend her whole life rejoicing in the gift of God and helping others have that desire and joy. The real root of her life is what we're about to do today, to focus our desire on on the desire of the Lord Jesus in Holy Communion. I like to say, and I'm convinced it's true, that if you take Mary's holy, white hot desire for Jesus, if you take St. Francis Xavier Cabrini's, if you take all the saints combined, it doesn't even come close to the desire God has to give himself to us today. O King of the nations, and desire of them, lapis angularis, come and save us, whom you formed from the dust by blowing into us the breath of life. Amen.